All right, it's time for us to get started. We do not have slides today because we're going to try to cover 9 chapters. And that is by design. I want you to know that. After today, assuming all things go as planned, and it never does, we'll then begin topical studies of the rest of this. And the reason for this, look in chapter 10 and verse 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1 that says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. And so now there is a natural division that comes about. That does not deny that those things before chapter 9, I need to stand in the middle because of the video, I guess, okay? The things before chapter 9 are not Proverbs of Solomon. But the first 9 chapters, though they are proverbial in nature, they're different. They're not really Proverbs. I mean, you'll see this once you get over to chapter 10. But it is an exaltation of encouragement to the person that Solomon calls my son. Remember last week? You remember last week how many times we looked at the word my son? In one set of notes, I've got the word my son is in the book of Proverbs 16 times. I've got the New King James, did a search in New King James 23 times. 23 times in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, my son, my son, my son. And so here is a setting for this, and it's much, much larger than Solomon's son. Well, how much did his son regard what he said? I mean, you stop and think about it. Think of the wisdom of Solomon, and the first decision that Rehoboam made was whether to lower the taxes or increase the taxes so that the nation might be able to stay together. He listened to all the young people in the nation, and the nation divided. And the lack of wisdom from my son brought about the division between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So that's why this is really, really important. Now, I do not know if your Bible has headings in it. The old King James does not have headings in the Bible. Sometimes at the start of a chapter, in the real old family Bibles, you had a little in italicized words. You had those words that were there. You need to understand that the divisions that you have in the Bible are man-made, but they're not just randomly made. It's not just somebody says, looks like a good time to make a paragraph or something. It is an attempt by the translators as they've looked at this. And so I valued this probably more in studying these first 8 chapters of first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs than I ever have in my life, because you begin to see in chapter 1. I don't know if you've got a heading in chapter 1 at all. You grab a pew Bible, you'll see the kind of thing I'm talking about. It is the beginning of knowledge, and so it says the Proverbs of Solomon. And so this is why we know these first 9 chapters were from Solomon. But they're not proverbial in the nature of their being the poetical statement and repetition of concepts, both negative and positive, in the rest of Proverbs. And so in this beginning, he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will inherit and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wide counsel. Understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. What an introductory sentence. What are you writing about, Solomon? Here are the proverbs. Here's what they'll do for you. And they will make you be able to accomplish things in this life that you never, ever would have accomplished. And so what I encourage you to do as we study the book of Proverbs, when you find that Proverbs, it just, hits you right between the eyes. You remember that old TV commercial? Wow, I could have had a V8 with, you understand what I'm saying? When you read one of those Proverbs and it smacks you right in your nose and you think, whoa, I got a lot of work to do. That's the one you need to underline. Because Solomon says, this is what it'll do for you. And so I think it is interesting, having given this preamble through those first 6 verses, look what he says in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and information. There it is. Where does it all start? The fear of the Lord is where it begins. I hope I'll be able to find the verse over in chapter 9. Look in, keep your finger here. We'll be right back here in a moment. But look in chapter 9 before we get to chapter 10 where it says the Proverbs of Solomon. And then you really get into the Proverbs. Look in chapter 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and in knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So there are bookends to these nine chapters, and both of them say, here it is. If you want to have wisdom, if you want to have knowledge, here is the most fundamental place to begin. What on earth does that tell you about rearing your children? I mean, those of you who have small children, what is the most important thing to give to them? What lesson do they need to understand? And that is the awesomeness of God. It's not just terror, though we ought to respect God in that sense, but it is an understanding that there is a respect for God and a respect for His awesomeness and His power and every aspect of the attribute of, so that whenever we think about God, our heart just says, wow. And that's why when that verse hits you right in the face, you know why that hits you? It's because you fear the Lord. It is because here is a proverb that God has given you to help you change your life. You want to change your life, you just want to read Proverbs. See, there's a total difference in doing these things. And so he says, and he starts for the first time in verse 6, My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. So he's talking to his son, trying to help his son understand that these things, these proverbs that are in this book, and these early verses, these early chapters do have proverbs in it, but the rest, we get to chapter 10, and it's just one proverb after another for almost till you get to the very end of the book. One proverb after another. And so he says, here is what I want you to do. I want you to listen to these things. Look in chapter 3. We'll be back here in chapter 1 in just a moment. But he says, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your necks. Write them on the tablets of your heart, and go find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Isn't that amazing? What are you supposed to do with Proverbs? Well, you got the preamble. Here's the purpose of it. It is to do all of these things, and that's what we read in that opening paragraph. And then he says, now when you get them, you bind them. How do you bind them? You get the strongest rope that you can get. I mean, you get the strongest thing you can get. And then you put super glue all over that rope. All over, that's what you got to do with that proverb. Those things that impact your life, you think, well, I'm just not like that at all. Then you're not wise, and you don't have understanding. And mark it down, you're going to mess your life up. You're absolutely going to mess your life up. Now, in this opening section, he's going to say, now, if you act with wisdom, you are going to prosper in this world. And so that's sort of the design. Look in chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 21, I think it is. Yes, it starts in verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. And then do you ever remember years ago, any of you grow up in the church hearing that pray, guide, guard, and direct us till the, you know. That was right before you said in the name of Jesus. When I was growing up in the church, right as you got to the end of the prayer, Lord, guide, guard, and direct us. And I thought, what does that mean? I mean, I said it, you know, until I thought, what am I saying? Guide, guard, and direct us. I believe this is the biblical application of a prayer that was prayed all the time. I mean, you know, it was just a we say common things in prayers, you know, be with us all until our next appointed assembly. I mean, we have that terminology, and so God guard and direct us as we leave. What does that mean? Well, here is what it is, and think about this in relationship to Proverbs, and think about this in relationship to God. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your neck. tie them around upon your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. Isn't that amazing? Then he says, and when you sleep, they will keep you, and when you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp and a light. That sound like David? Wonder where David, where Solomon learned that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what David wrote. And so now here's Solomon talking to the next generation, talking to David's grandson, and he says, these things that you've learned, you bind them. You bind them upon your heart. You tie them around your neck. And when you go, they will lead you. Isn't that amazing? Yes, yes. And a great question. They did it even different from that, but yes. Whenever they read Deuteronomy chapter 6, they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And we don't have any idea. I remember in one Bible class years ago, and I went to Christian schools, and it's amazing what you learn at Christian schools, because people read something, and I remember in a Bible class some student read, they shall be as front legs between your eyes, you know. Well, a frontlet was a little pouch where they wrote the scriptures. And they would write the scriptures, and they would put a headband on, but right in the middle of it, they would have a place to put these scriptures. And so the Bible, Jesus rebukes and calls it phylacteries. What on earth is that? Well, that's those pouches, and that's those scriptures that are in those pouches. And said the Pharisees, when they would put their front legs between their frontlets, when they did it literally, they would write a lot of scriptures. Because see, I'm more holy than you, and if my Bible is thicker than you, then I'm smarter than you. Or I am more holy than you. You understand what I'm saying? If I sing louder than you, I'm worshiping more. If I pray longer than you, then and if I preach longer, no, we'll get to that one. But you understand, you know, and so that's what they did. But they didn't understand it. He said, put them on your heart. Don't just tie them around your neck, you know, as a practice sometimes in America is where a gold chain has a cross on it, okay? I'm not concerned about the cross around the neck nearly as much as the cross in the heart. There's a real, real difference in the two. And so he says, you know, when you roam, it'll lead you. And if you'll write the Proverbs on your heart, and those that really impact your weaknesses. When you walk out of this class, guide, guard, and direct me. How'd you do that, Lord? The commandment is a lamp and a light. And so guide, guard, and direct. Henry, I bet you've heard that a lot in your life. Guide, guard, and direct. What's that mean? Well, I sort of knew what it meant. I could say amen, but I didn't really understand it. And then all of a sudden, whenever he says, my son, listen to your father, and it will guide, guard, and direct you. And it says, when you awake, it'll speak to you. When you awake, it'll speak to you. Probably ought not to tell you this, but some of those mornings when I can't get out and can't get up, you have those mornings when you just really don't want to get out of bed. You know what I say to myself? Well, I say there's one in here, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands going to bring ruin to your life. That's one of the Proverbs that's here. But the things that makes my feet hit the floor is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I got to get up. I've got to study the Bible. I've got to serve the Lord. And so if you really want to know, when I'm having one of those days, I just think I'm just going to do nothing today. But I really need to work on this. I really need to work on that. And you can make whatever application you want to make to your life. I make it because of my, you know, need to be involved in the Word of God and understand the thing that gets me out of the bed is that proverb, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. That's not a proverb, but it's one of those, it's guide, guarding, and directing me. And so when you read Proverbs about how to treat your wife, isn't that amazing? You need to write that on your heart. You need to bind it. You need to, to bind it on your heart. You need to tie it around your neck. And when you go, it will. And when you wake up in the morning, it's going to speak to you. Why? Because that's where your heart is. As a man thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Look back to chapter 1. We didn't get to verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. That's a pretty good statement to be able to teach your children, principle to live by. You know, I heard one father say, and I repeated it, if you ever say to me, well, Dad, everybody's doing it, then the answer is no. I don't want to hear that argument, you know. Everybody's doing this. Well, I think I've got some verses in there about the majority and the broad way and things of that nature. But that was just, I talked last week about homilies being a sermon and what your mother says right before you leave the house. Somebody has coined a phrase called a momily. Well, here's a popily. If in discussing about whether you ought to be allowed to do this, everybody's going and everybody's doing it, the answer is no. Don't make that argument to me. It carries absolutely no weight with me. Why? Because of a proverb that says, if they say, come with us, come with us. And he says, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol and Sheol and whole and like those who go to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. If you'll just come with us, we're going to really, really have fun. You're going to prosper. You're going to experience things that you've never experienced. And opening paragraph, first time, second time he says, my son, he says, well, you've got to learn to fear the Lord. And here's what you need to learn. And that is, whenever they're saying, do this. Look, it gets to verse 15. My son, do not walk in their ways. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet are run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. You got to understand that. And so we don't have time to look at all 9 chapters. Not going to be able to do that. What I want you to do is sometimes read a paragraph from Proverbs. You use these headings that are there. And when you get to the end of this, you know, the heading I've got between verse 7 and verse 8, shun evil counsel. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's a pretty good heading for what we've read about. And so then, the next heading I've got is in verse 20, wisdom's call. The call of wisdom. And so now, he's setting the tone and the place for Proverbs, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of understanding, and wisdom shouts out, here is what I will do for you. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates of this city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Did you ever say to your kids, how could you be so stupid? I don't know if you got to that level. You probably didn't have kids like that, you know. But you ever say it watching television? How on earth can anybody make such a stupid statement? I'll tell you exactly how. The fear of the Lord is not in them. And they have not heard wisdom's cry. Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit in you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you have refused. Uh-oh. Wisdom's calling. What's happened? If I refuse the call, if that proverb hits me square in the face, or, you know, you think, boy, that's a lesson I need to teach to my children. That's something that is really important. That's a sermon idea. You listen to it, and then the wisdom says, and this is wisdom speaking, it's personification, it's not literally wisdom. It's really the God of all wisdom speaking to us. Wisdom says, because you have, I have called you and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained at my counsel and would have none of my words, I also will laugh at your calamity. Guess what's lying out there? That's the same thing that you've said to your children, I tried to warn you. Isn't that amazing? You see how practical Proverbs is? Do you see how Proverbs parallels our lives? Because as we can see this in relationship to our children, it's the God of heaven. It's Solomon with his children, with his son, and it's the God of heaven with every one of us. And so if there's something, some verse in the Bible, and since we're studying Proverbs, I'll make that specific application. If there's some proverb that is in Proverbs that really just is sort of foreign to your life, don't you rebuke it. Don't you turn your ear away from it. He says, verse 28, then those who do not listen to my counsel, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And there it is again. There is the beginning of it, and if you do not get the fear of the Lord, you've got troubles coming in your life. That doesn't mean you will not have trials if you're a child of God, but if you want a guarantee that you're going to have troubles in your life, you fail to listen to Proverbs. You want to have a stinking, rotten marriage? Then don't listen to what Proverbs says. Isn't that amazing? You want to have trouble and strife with people, always in a fuss and in an argument with somebody? You know, you haven't read Proverbs. The verse that says, answer a fool according to the folly, according to his folly, the next verse says what? Maybe it's the verse before. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Wisdom tells you when to shut your mouth. Isn't that amazing? Where am I going to get wisdom? Folks, that's what this book is. It is a book which exalts wisdom. Chapter 2, the heading I've got is The Value of Wisdom. I'm not going to look at it. We cannot look at all chapters, all of these chapters. But you want a paragraph to read, then read the, almost the entirety of chapter 2, and you will see Solomon saying, here's the value of wisdom. Now then, here's the introduction to the book of Proverbs. He's trying to tell you where it comes from, what it'll do for you, and the values that it will give to you. So that when you get over to chapter 9 or chapter 10, and we have the Proverbs of Solomon, you've got this understanding. Now I understand the importance of wisdom. We looked in chapter 3, we looked at verse 3 and 4, and now look at verse 5. Have you ever seen this on Facebook? Have you ever seen this given? Here'd be a good verse to memorize. You want something to write on your heart? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I read that slow and emphasize every word because there's an emphasis that needs to be. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all. Trust in the Lord with all of your. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Verbally inspired. And we need to read the Bible and look at every word in it because you can read that trust in the Lord with the heart of your heart, lead not to your own understanding. Okay, I read that one. No. Have I bound this around my heart? You know, have I tied it around my neck? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lead not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It's rather interesting. The marginal reading I've got on the word direct, I think, is to make smooth, to make straight. I don't know which way I ought to go. I really don't know which way I ought to go. You know, it's a crooked road. Here it is. He'll make your path straight. And this is not the straight straight is the way. A narrow is the gate and straight is the way. That's spelled differently. It's a different kind of straight. That means difficult. This means, here's the road, and it's straight. Well, sometimes I just don't know what I ought to do. that is an admission that I don't have wisdom. Where am I going to get wisdom? Well, I'm going to pray to God. All right, God says, okay, you've been praying for wisdom. I've got some for you. You want to decide whether to make decision A or B and the consequences of decisions A or B? It's got to be based around this. I am not talking that God will not, what's that prayer we used to pray? Have a ready recollection of the things he studied. Henry, you've heard that in your life too. Henry's sort of grown up in the church, not all the time, but he came to the church earlier in his life, thanks to Bertha. Thank you, Bertha. I guess we thank you. And you understand, those are the things we need to hear. Guide us. Give me wisdom. Help me understand. And the verse says, trust what he says and make decisions based on that trust. I want to tell you this again because I believe it with all of my heart. Wisdom from Gus Nichols. Marriage counseling. Those of you who have somebody come to you and say, my marriage is in trouble, I want to ask you three questions. Brother Nichols would say, and if the answer to any one of the three is no, then I cannot help you. Number one, will you admit that you've got a problem? Well, he's got a problem. That's not the question. Will you admit that you are contributing something? I'm not saying you're the 100% to blame, but is there a problem in this marriage? Well, I'm perfect. Can't help you. There's no hope. Will you admit that you've got a problem? Number two, do you believe with all of your heart the Bible's going to tell you how to solve this problem? And number three, if I take time to show you what the Bible says, will you do it? Is that wisdom? Brother Nichols, where'd you come up with that? Came up with that from having immersed myself in the Word and lived on this earth. Sometimes you even fooled your children. I didn't know my daddy was so smart. Was it Mark Twain that says, when I was 14 years of age, my daddy was the dumbest man on earth. When I was 21, I thought he was the smartest man that ever lived. He learned a lot in 7 years. I think that's an interesting comment. But you see, you're wise in relationship to this. And then instead of saying to your children, well, I told you so, whenever they've done wrong, you need to, whenever they've done right, then they followed and they did not go with other people and they got into trouble, you need to sit down, not arrogantly, but just to say, let me tell you where that came from. That came from God, and you listen to the counsel of God, and that's what you need to do all your life. You want to read verse 7? You ought to read verse 7 and emphasize every word. We don't have time in this class to do it. Do not be wise. Oh, period. No. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Hello? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In view of Mission Sunday coming up, look at the very next verse. Honor the Lord with your possessions. That's interesting. We oftentimes do not see the giving that we do in helping others and the giving that we do in helping evangelize the world as bringing honor to God. That's why last Sunday we kept saying over and over again, it's not what Palm Beach Lakes has done, it is what God has done, and we have honored the Lord. But get back to the text. He says, do not be wise in your own conceit. Does the old King James have the word conceit there? Why do I have that? Be not wise in your own eyes. Does it have the word eyes there? There's some verse, and maybe I made it up, but be not wise in your own conceit. That may just be application that I've thought of this and substituted in my mind that word. And so if it's not in the Bible, don't believe it. Just put Dan underneath it instead of God underneath it. But you ever try to talk to somebody that knows every answer? You know, ever tried to talk to someone? I don't know if classic illustration or not of that is one of the missionaries in New Zealand who was anciently old. When Judy and I arrived in New Zealand, I found out he was only 30, but we were in our 20s, and so I thought he was really smart. But his car wouldn't start, and some fellow said, "Well, I'll pour gasoline down the carburetor. That'll start it." And Bill said, "I don't think I would do that." Well, he said, "No, I'm going to do that. I'll pour gas down the carburetor." Bill said, "I don't think I would do that." The guy, wise in his own conceit, poured gasoline down in the carburetor. The car backfired. Fire came out and burned his hair. I mean, you know, "I don't think I'd do that." But you've done the same thing. How many times have you touched a hot stove? They told you when you were 9 months old, no. But that hot stove really looked good. That coffee pot that was up there percolating. I know it doesn't happen that anymore, but whatever is happening, and there is that cord or there is that stove, and your mom and dad say, "No, no, it's hot. It's hot. It's hot." I only know of one way to learn the word hot. Isn't that amazing? I don't remember how I learned it. I just know that's not a good word, you know, the word hot. But how many times have we failed to listen to the counsel of godly people? Counsel of godly people and touch hot stoves. Wise in our own... Yes, Betty.
26:5, it does say in thine own conceit.
In what? Whereabouts?
26:5.
Don't be wise in your own conceit. So you can take Dan's name off of that and put a name that really matters there. Be not wise in your own conceit. Well, I think I know about that. I will never forget the end of first year of Greek. One of the men said, "Man, I know Greek. I know just enough to be dangerous." and he was talking about some individuals think they're Greek scholars, you know, because they know how to use Strong's numbers. And I use Strong's numbers all the time. But, you know, you need to understand that doesn't make you necessarily a Greek scholar. Look at verse 11. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." Look at verse 12. "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights." That sound like a New Testament verse? Hope you got a marginal reading there to Hebrews chapter 12. "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Here it is. Well, why is that in the New Testament? Because it's wisdom. And the fact it was a part of the Old Testament in a book that's entitled Wisdom, and it gets to the New Testament where there is adversity in the lives of Christians, and they're trying to decide whether even to remain faithful to God, he says, you need to understand what chastening is all about in relationship to that. Look at my watch. Chapter 4. "Hear, my children, the instruction of the Father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." Let that be God talking to you. When you read Proverbs, it's the Almighty God through an earthly father named Solomon talking to his earthly son, at least, you know, the one whose names we know is Rehoboam, but it's the God of heaven talking to us. And he says, he says, hear my instructions. "I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." That's amazing. It's interesting. "Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart retain words and keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away. If this is Solomon, guess who his mama is? It's Bathsheba. And Bathsheba had touched the hot stove. And she says, now, Rehoboam, listen to me. You're the apple of my eye, to use a biblical term. I was my mom's favorite. And my mom said to me, listen to what my father, Solomon says, listen to the doctrine my father taught me. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. My, I don't know what to leave out. I've got so many verses underlined in my mind in this chapter. Wisdom is the principal thing. Who was it? Was it Bonnie Quigley last week that said, read one chapter of Proverbs every day of the month. You want a daily Bible reading plan? You know, you may not need to read it that fast, but that's a good way. I don't mean you need to read the Bible through looking at every word, but I mean when you're looking at something that really impacts your life, you need to emphasize every word of it. That's in chapter 4. Chapter 5 we're going to come back to. Chapter 5 talks about adultery. It talks about being unfaithful in your marriage. And oh, what a lesson that needs to be taught in America today. In chapter 5 and chapter 7 are chapters that we're going to look at in detail. But if you're a wise father, you can sit down and read this and talk to your children about it. Brother Camp, one of the other preachers who really had an impact in my life, said, when I'm dealing with my children, especially where there's been a disagreement between me and him, I'd say, would you like to know what God says about this? Let's have a Bible study. And so we'd sit down, we'd study the Bible about the very question that he'd ask me about, can I do this, can I do that? And in that class I was in, somebody says, well, suppose he doesn't agree with you when you get to the end. He'd said, we'd have another Bible study. I love that concept. But isn't that amazing? What a great thing that needs to be talked about in fidelity, in marriage, and we'll spend a lot of, in fact, we'll probably spend maybe one whole day, and it may be next week, looking at chapters 5 and 7. What? You what?
He had over 1,000 wives. How could he talk about
that? I know that. I know that.
He's telling his son, don't be like me.
And Hella just shaking her head in amazement. Solomon had all these wives, didn't listen to a word he said. Guess what? He didn't listen to his mama. Isn't that amazing? And he didn't listen to his daddy, who spoke by the inspiration of God. He was not wise. And look at what happened in his life. In his old years, those women turned away his face from the Lord. Have you ever seen a widow marry and the second husband she has, or a widower marry and the second wife he has, draws that person away from God? It happens. It happens. And a part of it is just because, you know, he's going to say, it's the pitfall of death. Take you down to Sheol, which perhaps in that indication is an indication of hell. In chapter 6, This is one I had to memorize at Athens Bible School in 6th or 7th grade. Chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you slugger. Consider her ways and be wise. Isn't that amazing? Behold, look at the birds. Okay, when you're lying down on the ground, when that ant has come into your kitchen, and all of a sudden he's running back home to tell everybody else, and now you've got an army of ants. You have no idea where the exterminator, I don't know where they came from. Go to the ant, your slugger, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, no overseer, or no ruler, provides her supplies for the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep? Will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Then I had to memorize this verse at Athens. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Well, I've got a clock here that's ringing. That must mean it's time to stop. Must mean it's time to stop. Oh, hush. If I turn it upside down, it's not supposed to ring. Okay. Look at 7:24. After talking about adultery again, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to my words of my mouth. Look in chapter 8. We've got to finish. We got 2 minutes according to that bell. Now, therefore, listen, verse 32. Listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise and do not disdain it. And I guess we'll end by looking at verse 10, the last words of chapter 9 before you get to the Proverbs of Solomon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, by wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you'll suffer the consequences. That's the preamble. And that's how we're going to cover 31 chapters. We covered 9 chapters in one day. We only have 3 more class meetings. No, I'm teasing. We've got 7 more class meetings to cover the book of Proverbs, and we're going to do it topically. You are dismissed. Thank you so much.